Well, the economy is growing, people are in jobs, and the Australian dollar is riding high, but that might not be enough to convince consumers to start spending up this Christmas. The latest data suggests Australians are preferring to pay off debt rather than go shopping. Our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell, is here with a look at the week ahead in business and finance. Cheryl, hello again.
Hi, Fran.
How will the Reserve Bank react to this cautiousness amongst consumers when it meets tomorrow for the last time this year?
Look, I think we can be pretty sure the RBA won't be raising interest rates again when it meets tomorrow. Indeed, all 25 economists polled by Bloomberg have official rates on hold. Indeed, many now think they'll remain on hold until well into next year, perhaps until April. And that's because growth across the economy is pretty patchy right now. Yes, commodity prices are soaring, but mining's good fortunes aren't being spread around, particularly not to sectors that have been hit hard by rising interest rates and the strong dollar. I'm talking about construction and retail and manufacturing. After a strong start to the year, we saw growth slow to a crawl in the September quarter, and that softness appears to be continuing into this quarter. Data out last Thursday, Fran, showed that national retail sales slid by 1.1% in October. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it's the biggest decline in more than a year. It seems Australians are preferring to save rather than spend this year. Indeed, our household savings ratio is at a two-decade high. Now, why are they doing that when the economy is still growing and everyone who wants a job can have a job? I think it's because memories of the GFC are still fresh. I mean, particularly with reminders every day, Greece and Ireland are still struggling. Also, mortgage rates have been rising in Australia, remember, since October last year, the last big hike coming just last month. And on top of that, you know, we've got living costs rising, the share market's going nowhere, and people are nervous about house prices. So people are taking stock, they're paying down debt rather than perhaps buying more stuff they probably don't need. Now, that caution keeps prices in check, which means the RBA can afford to sit on the sidelines for a while. But it's not good news for retailers who are facing a pretty tough Christmas shopping season this year.
Sure, but you'd think it could be worse. I mean, at least people are working in this country. In the US, the bad news continues on the job front.
Yes, it does. The November jobs data in the US came out on Friday, and it was much weaker than expected. The economy added only 39,000 jobs in November, which was far worse than the 150,000 increase that was forecast by Wall Street analysts. This isn't enough to keep up with population growth, so we saw the unemployment rate jump to 9.8% from 9.6%. That's the first increase in the jobless rate since August and the highest level in 7 months. Now, economists say the economic data is pointing to stronger employment ahead, but they've been saying this for months now, Fran, and the fear is US employers are learning to get by basically without rehiring the staff they let go during the GFC, a classic jobless recovery. But, of course, it's a far different picture here. Australian labour force data for November is out this Thursday, in fact. And you remember we saw our unemployment rate tick up to 5.4% in October as more people started to look for work than there were new jobs in the month. Economists think the economy might have added somewhere between 15,000 to 25,000 new jobs in November. So we may see that jobless rate fall back again. Why are we doing so well on the jobs front? Well, one reason is real labour costs are falling here. They're 2.2% lower than they were a year ago. Cheaper labour is an incentive for employers to hire more staff. But all these extra people in jobs hasn't actually made our economy more productive. The national accounts actually showed output remains weak despite the jobs boost.
Okay. And the disappointing jobs report in the US, that didn't seem to dampen sentiment too much on Wall Street on Friday. Why was that?
Well, US stocks...
In the past it has.
Yes, that's right. US stocks did fall after the jobs report came out, but then they staged this late rally by the end of trading on Friday. It took the Dow to 11,382 points, up 19 points on the day and 2.6% over the week. Investors do seem to be looking past the bad jobs numbers to the year ahead when they think the economy will pick up. And in the short term, the high unemployment rate may convince the US Congress to extend those Bush-era tax cuts that were scheduled to expire at the end of this year. But the jump in US employment in November did trigger a slump in the US dollar. Investors dumped the currency for what they see as safer assets like oil and gold. Gold broke through the $1,400 an ounce mark on Friday again, Fran, and a fall in the dollar also helps oil prices by making crude cheaper for buyers in other currencies. And that's why we saw crude oil in New York rise by 1.4% to settle at around $89.19 a barrel.
Okay, and what will this all mean for our market this morning, Cheryl? What do you think?
Well, futures trading is tipping our market will open 4 points higher this morning because of Wall Street's strong close on Friday. Now, strangely, for an economy that didn't go into recession, ours, our market is lagging the US this year. The Dow in New York is up 9% since the start of the year. But our benchmark index, the ASX 200, is actually down 3.6%. So that's what zero interest rates in the US and plentiful liquidity with quantitative easing can do for shares. Here, our fortunes are more tied to China. And there's been a lot of jitters in recent months about whether the authorities there can manage its galloping growth. This week, the Australian banks will be in focus again too as the federal government releases its much-anticipated plan to break the market dominance of the big banks. The reforms are expected to focus more, Fran, on making smaller banks and the credit unions, the mutuals, more competitive by extending government guarantees on their borrowings and on their deposits. That phases out for banks, supposedly, by the end of next year. The ACCC is also likely to be given greater power to scrutinise the big banks. There might be something in there about making bank account numbers more portable, but maybe action on that won't come till next year. We have to see what the detail is on that. But, you know, it looks like more regulation of a sector that actually served Australia reasonably well during the GFC. The other point of interest for investors this week will be the AGM, Annual General Meeting on Thursday, of the Ten Network. And that's going to introduce to shareholders the quartet of billionaires who now own a substantial part of the broadcaster.
Who's the fourth billionaire in that quartet?
We've got James Packer, Lachlan Murdoch, Gina Rinehart, and Bruce Gordon, who was already there. Meanwhile, just ending off for my last presentation for the week, looking ahead, the Australian dollar has actually staged a bit of a comeback on rising commodities and the falling greenback. This morning it was buying 99.15 US cents.
Oh, shot right back up. And that banking review, I think that will be a big story this week. The Treasurer has taken it to Cabinet, the banking plan, taken it to Cabinet today, so we should get it later in the week. It does seem, though, as they're struggling to figure out what to do beyond trying to make it easier for people to switch banks.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much else they can do unless they want to cripple the sector with too much regulation, and that's a balancing act that they've got to get right.
And that's exactly what they don't want to do. Cheryl, thanks so much. Our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell.